All right. John chapter 8 and verse 22. Please stand for the reading of God's word. We're going to read this, and then I'm going to go right into my text tonight. John 8 and 22. Christ is talking to the Pharisees here, and the Pharisees pose this question, mocking him because they knew what they believed about suicide. And 22, it says, "Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he saith, whether I go, you cannot come?" Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and as we look at this truth in your word, we pray, Lord, that we might, and I feel that we all understand it, but Lord, I pray that we would be able to understand it just a little bit better, make it a little bit clearer in our hearts, that we may be able to defend the faith and be able to speak peace into somebody's heart that has had something told to them that's not accurate. Lord, we do love you tonight, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that's contained within it. We ask, Lord God, that tonight as we look at this, it's more of an apologetics, that we would be able to see the truth and understanding your word and the benefits that come along with being a child of God. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The topic tonight that I'm going to touch on for just briefly, and the reason why my wife this morning when I was leaving, coming out of the pulpit, she said, you might want to clarify where you had talked about this morning in verse 22, someone taking their own life. And so what I want to do tonight is I want to do just that. I want to clarify that thought to where you know where I stand, to where you know where you stand and how you can defend your faith in that stance. A lot of people will give you some very, very cheesy answers when asked the questions I'm about to ask, but I want to give you some scriptural answers to be able to combat those tonight. And so I want to clear that up just a little bit better for you and give you an understanding more, maybe more so than what you've already got. And if you know these things, praise God. I sat down about an hour ago after my wife had told me that, and I wrote some things down for us to look at tonight. So I pray that it will benefit you and your faith. The Pharisees, the Jews, they had brought up the topic of suicide. Now, I don't want to say that word more than I have to because I don't want to glory in it. I don't want to talk about it a whole lot tonight. But we're going to look at just that. Listen to verse 22. Tells us that the Pharisees said, will he take his own life? Will he take his own life? The Pharisees, according to the historian Josephus, said that those that take their own lives are cast into hell. This is what the Jews believed, okay? Sadly, people today believe the very same thing, and a lot of different reasons why they believe this, and we're going to look at some of those things tonight. So the question tonight that has been argued over for years is whether a Christian that takes their own life will be in heaven or will be in hell. As Baptists and established in our faith, I feel like all of us agree on this topic, but yet I do want to give you some reasons why we teach that and why we agree on that. There are those that will say, well, they didn't get a chance to repent of that sin, which puts them in hell. How many people have heard that? Just about everybody in here. They didn't get a chance to repent. Well, how can they enter the kingdom of heaven if they didn't get a chance to repent? You say that they're children of God, but yet they didn't get a chance to repent. Y'all come on in, guys. So we see tonight that people ask this question. When someone does pass, and they pass in sin, and it's self-inflicted on them, and they did it purposely, they say, well, they didn't get a chance to repent of that sin, and that puts them in hell. And I would say, neither did any of the other people that were saved on their deathbeds when they died. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. There are Christians, children of God, that die every day, every single day. And the Bible teaches us that we're under a sanctification process until we go to be with the Lord, which means that we are not perfect. Does anybody understand that? That we are not perfect, and we will not be perfect until we are with the Lord Jesus Christ. No more sin ever. So what happens is people, when they're on their deathbed, they will even tell you that they're not perfect, that they've done a lot of mistakes. And even in their heart, in the last minutes of their life, their mind can wander to different things. But does that make them lost, and does that keep them out of the kingdom of God? No, it does not. And so we have to see what sin is. Sin is sin is sin is sin. We have to see it as that. And we have to remember that Christ came. He came to preach to the heart. And it's a heart issue. And there's not one of us here tonight that are children of God that on their deathbed, they couldn't have wicked thoughts flash through their minds. I promise you it happens. And so I want us to understand tonight, because a person that doesn't have a chance to repent, you say, well, they didn't have a chance to repent, so they're burning in hell right now. That's not the case. Remember, Christ came to preach to the heart. And the good news to that is that those that have been truly born again by the Spirit of God, their sins have been removed according to Scripture as far as the east is from the west. And so that's one way that we have to remember when it comes to suicide, is that the Scripture teaches that Christ Jesus removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. Well, what sins? All of them. The one at the very last, the one at the very beginning, all of them. Every debt that was put to our charge, He paid it in full. And so that's one way to combat this ideology that says that a person that takes their own life in a weak moment is cast into hell. It's just simply not true. It's not biblical. It's not true. The second reason I want to give you tonight, those that say that a Christian will be cast into hell or will go there if they take their own life, they either are truly deceived doctrinally, or they believe that their own works are what obtains salvation. This is exactly what the Pharisees believed. This is exactly what the Jews believed. They believed in the workings of the law. And I want us to understand why we get in trouble when we believe in the workings of the law. This was their mentality. They trusted in the workings of the law for justification. And when we trust in the workings of the law for justification, it does not become about grace. It's not about grace anymore. We throw grace out the window, and it's based upon works and it's based upon merit. And I want us to understand something tonight. If we trust in works and if we trust in merit, then yes, we can lose our salvation. Simple as that. If we put our faith and trust in our own works and in our own merit, we can lose it by our own wicked sins. That's a matter of fact. But notice, I want you to notice tonight. If we had worked our own salvation and gave any help to the Lord in our regeneration, then yes, we could lose our salvation, because it would be based upon our own works. It would be based upon our own merit. And we know that that's not true. The last time I checked, there was not one of you at Mount Calvary. There was not one of you that was nailed to the cross, including myself. There was not one of us that carried the weight of sin on their shoulders. There was not one of us that took the wrath of the Father upon themselves. There was not one of us that experienced the weight of sin, so much so that blood came out of our foreheads because of the grief. There was not one of us that walked up that Via Della Rosa up to the top of the mount and stood there and hung from our old rugged cross. There was not one of us that spilt our blood for somebody else's sin. The last time I checked, there was but one man that was done that, and he was lifted up that all would see him, and his name was Jesus. He was there. None of us experienced the wrath of the Father. Christ did, not us. Ephesians chapter 2, turn there with me for just a moment. Ephesians chapter 2, 8 through 10. And you know this, if you want to quote it with me as I read it, you're more than welcome. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The problem with the Pharisees' mentality is that they believed that they could obtain salvation through their own works, that they could obtain justification. And that's simply not true. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 tells us that it's not of works, lest any man should boast, but it's by grace through faith. And if it's by grace through faith, then it's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. And so we did not obtain our regeneration, and we cannot lose our regeneration. Does that make sense? If we obtain it by our own hands, then we are then able to lose it by our own hands. But because we did not obtain it by our own hands, it was given to us, then we cannot then lose that. The third thing that I want you to see tonight, those that say that a Christian can lose their salvation if they take their own life have forgotten that it is impossible for a person that has been given the light of life to go back to a dead, corrupt state. It is spiritually impossible for a person that has been given the light of life to go back to a dead, corrupt state. It'd be like trying to turn jelly. Y'all know what it takes to make jelly? You got to have grapes, right? You got to have strawberries, right? What do you got to do to them? You got to cook them dudes down, don't you? You got to put pressure to them. You got to put sugar and all this stuff in them. Some people smash them. Some people do whatever they want to do to them. But they go from that whole state to a broken state, to a preserved state, to a fixed state where they're put into a can and they're sealed off forever and they're good. But you can't get that jelly back into the grape form. It is absolutely impossible. You can't do it. You can't take jelly and put it back into grapes. You can't take a butterfly who's came from a chrysalis and put it back into a caterpillar. It's absolutely impossible. And so nor can you take a child of God that has been made light and that has been made alive by the working of the Spirit. You can't take that person, take the Spirit out of him and put him back in that dead state, because Christ brought them from that dead state to elevate them, to bring them into a state of life. And you can't take it out of them. I don't care if it's one weak moment in time where the mind goes back and somebody takes their life. My Jesus is more powerful than a weak mind. He is. So we see that it's not possible for that life to go back to that dead state of corruption. The flesh can get into corruption, but that spirit cannot get back there. He can't take that from us. Remember, it was his zeal to perform it. Listen to what 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says. I love this passage of scripture. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Ephesians chapter 2 and 1, it says, and you hath he quickened or made alive, who were dead in our sins and in our trespasses. We've came out of that. And so for us to have been brought out of that, we can't go back in it. It's impossible for us to get back there. So Scripture teaches us that once we've been made alive in Christ, before we were dead spiritually, but now we've been made alive, and we've been made alive by the power of God. And the Scripture says in Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians, it says that we are a new creature, or a new creation is the word. And I want us to understand something. That word is not to be taken lightly. When we become a child of God, everything changes. Everything. And this is why I think it's just hysterical at times when somebody says that they're a child of God, but nothing changes in their life. The scripture says they become a new creation. At creation, things were made, or things were created. But I want us to see something. The work of grace in a person's life is much stronger than that of even creation, because he takes something that's completely messed up, something that's completely hopeless, and he makes it into something that is perfect. So it's impossible for us to get us back into that position. One person might ask then, if we are made new, why did that person sin? My question to ask back to that person would be, why do you sin? It's because of the flesh. Until we go to be with our Maker, we have the flesh and we have the spirit, and they are contrary to one another. That means that they have locked horns with one another like two fighting bucks. And they're battling and they're struggling. And until we go to be with the Lord, it's always going to be. The flesh is always going to go contrary to the spirit. Always. And that's a battle in our sanctification process that we have to constantly contend with until we go then to be with the Lord. The fourth and final thing that I want us to see tonight, and I'm going to stop with this. The fourth and final thing I want you to see, those that say that a Christian can lose their own salvation if they take their own life, have forgotten that the scripture tells us that he will never leave us nor forsake us. I don't know how many times you have to say it. He will never do it. And that truth that is extended to us from our Lord always, I want you to listen to this, that truth that is extended to us from our Lord always supersedes one weak action that we have in the flesh. Always. The truth of God's word lasts forever. It is true. It is not to be changed. And you can't change it. And it always supersedes the flesh. John chapter 10. You got a couple of pages turned over there. John chapter 10. 28 through 30, listen to what it says. And I love this passage of scripture because it just reiterates the point and drives it home even more. John 28 and 30, it says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Our God's got mighty hands. These are the hands that, remember, had holes put through them. "My Father, which gave them me," according to John 17 and according to John 10, "my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So lastly, we see that our God is powerful, in that when he takes control over our life, all over our spirit, we cannot lose that salvation. I do but believe that the taking of one's life is a very gruesome and a very grotesque thing. I think it is wrong. I think it's horrible. It's awful. I do believe it takes somebody that has given up on life, somebody that has reached a very, very sad point. Someone that has reached a weak moment in their life where they have believed a lie given by Satan to destroy the flesh. But I do not believe that that person will be cast into hell if they're a child of God. I don't. Because not one sin is greater than the other. And Jesus Christ came to do away with those sins and cancel out that debt that was against us. Christ is bigger, he is stronger than our own actions, and we can't lose our salvation even from suicide. Just not possible. It contradicts Scripture. It goes against Scripture. It goes against us persevering into the end. It just goes against it. It goes against all the promises of God. And so tonight, I want you to contemplate that and think on those four things that I've given you this evening. And I'm not going to take any more of your time this evening. My wife told me, she said, I think you need to clarify that, what you were talking about suicide today in church. And I said, you know what? I think I will. And so I sat down before church started this evening and wrote a few things out there. And I hope and pray that could maybe clear up some questions that you might have had. Any other thoughts before we dismiss this evening?